in 2 Timothy in chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading here in verse number 22. I appreciate God's goodness toward us, and I'm glad I'm saved. I appreciate the good Sunday school that we had, and Brother Josh, and the good preaching out of the Word of God, and how it helped us, and provoked me in my prayer life, and we can't take anything with us to heaven but our family, and I do want my children to love God enough to serve Him, and I want to try my best to do better about praying for my children. 2 Timothy in chapter number 2 and verse 22, the Bible said, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Verse 26 said, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Thank you. You can be seated. I appreciate you standing. This message has been on my heart, I guess, since I got here. And it seems like it begins to resonate again this morning when I got up. And then with just the thoughts that I've had, and even the singing and the things that have been said this morning, we've talked about much about the will of God and about how that the potter does know the clay, and that how that he does have a will, and he can see on down the road in our lives, and that he is working in our lives, and he does have a will. And it is a blessing to be in the will of God. I say that by introduction this morning. It is great to know that you are in the will of God. There's sometimes we may question. I guarantee you Mary, the mother of Jesus, probably wondered, how can this be the will of God? That she's had to go out into Egypt and then come back and ride the donkey back into town, and probably wondered, how can this be the will of God? But God did have a will, and God was performing His will, and God does have a will for our life. And people ask us sometimes, they'll say, "Brother Randy, would you pray that I'd find God's will for my life and that I'd do what God desires me to do?" And there is joy and there's peace and there's satisfaction in understanding and when you know that you are in the will of God, even when things sometimes don't turn out like you might have planned them to do, you know that God is doing something in your life. And you know that we can hold to the assurance that God is working His will. Philippians 1:6 said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And so I'm glad that we can be in the will of God, and it's very important to be in the will of God and to know the will of God. But I want to look at the other side of that truth this morning. I could not help but believe when I began to hear the things that had been said and the singing that we've heard about being in the will of God and knowing the will of God, and that God does have a will for our life. Not only does God have a will for everybody's life in the building this morning, God's got a will for your life. And just as God has a will for you, the devil has a will for you as well. I want to preach on the devil's will for your life. The devil's will for your life. You know, I thought about even passing down the road, that church is right down the road from the preacher's house. There's a sign up there, and it talks about Satan, and it talks about the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so the devil does have a will for your life. 1 Peter 5:8 said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And that word devour, it does not say that he's wanting to trip us up, and it does not say that he wants to get us off course. It does not say he's trying to divert us. The Bible said he is trying to devour us. I wonder if we realize this morning how serious this thing really is. And I know this time of year and what's going on and all the things that surround in the fall and this time of year and even tomorrow. And you know, we like the festivities, and there's nothing wrong with what we did yesterday. I enjoyed that. I was was blessed by that. I'm glad Christians can have fun. You can have a good time and be a Christian. But you know, a lot of times it seems like during this time of year, we get caught up and get to looking around, and we'll see people, and they're running around and they've got their little devil outfit on, and they've got, I know I had a child yesterday, but they was a dragon. They wasn't a devil. I was told that. That's what they said. But you know, a lot of times that's the way Hollywood, and that's the way the world wants us to see the devil. He wants us to see him very easily identified, that he's running around with a red outfit on, and he's got a pitchfork, and he's got the forked tail, and he's very easy for us to pick out. But see, that's not how the devil is. See, he's not easily identified. The Bible said he's a roaring lion, and he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he paints it, and that's exactly what he wants us to think. He wants us to think that he would stick out in a congregation like this. But bloody, I'm telling you something right now, the devil is on a roaring path, and he's wanting to destroy individuals. This is not a game with him. I see with us, we think sometimes, well, it's just a game of cat and mouse. It is not. The devil is playing for keeps in our life, and there's not an individual in here this morning that he does not want to kill and steal from you and destroy the things that God has given you. Now, the picture here, that roaring lion, he's not standing out, and he's not there for all of them to see. See, he's lurking in the bushes. He's hid somewhere. He's camouflaged, and then when the group comes by, he's not looking for the one up front, and he's not looking for the strong. He's looking for the weak. He's looking for the stragglers. He's looking for the ones that are just kind of lagging behind and that are not up to where they need to be, and they're not in the condition to travel with everybody else. That's why it's very important to stay right with God. It's very important not to strangle. It's very important not to drag around. It's very important to keep your spiritual stamina, because the adversary is seeking whom he may devour, and he does have a will for your life. I'm glad not today. I can say I'm in God's will. As far as I know, I'm in God's will. But as I preach this, there is a fear that comes in my life, and I know fear is not of God, so we understand where that's coming from. But there is a good fear, and to be cautious and to be on the lookout, because as a roaring lion, the devil is lurking about. He's out to destroy homes. He's out to destroy lives. That's what he has come to do. And I thought about the text that was on the billboard there on the highway out of John in chapter number 10, where it said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now here the Lord speaking to the Pharisees, he's declaring his deity. And in John chapter number 10 verse 9, he said, "I am the door." He didn't say, "I'm a door." "I'm the door." So that's a definite article that he says, "I am the door." But in chapter number 10 and verse 10, it says "the thief," not "a thief." I believe this thief is the adversary himself. And he gives us a picture here of what he's come to do. And the first thing it says the devil is come to do in verse 10, it said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal." Now, stealing is done in secret. The word here is klepto, where we get the word kleptomaniac. He's a stealer, and that's what he's come to do. He's come to steal things, and stealing is done in secret. Just like God, and I believe this, there's not an individual that ever has ever fallen to the temptations of the devil. There's not one individual that has ever, quote unquote, fallen into sin unless they have neglected their private devotions with God. You talk to any individual that's got out of the will of God. You talk to any individual that's not in church this morning. You talk to any preacher that's messed up. You talk to any deacon. You talk to any Sunday school teacher. You talk to any Christian that's not right with God this morning. If they'll be honest, here's what they'll say. They'll say, "It all began when I stopped praying. It all began when I stopped spending time with God." And let me say this, just as God wants us to spend time with him in private, just as God desires us to spend time alone, hey, there's nothing that'll help us more. There are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. There's nothing like being alone with God and getting a touch of God and the power of God in your life. And just as God's will for everybody in the building this morning to spend time in devotion, I promise you the devil desires your private life as well.
He came to steal. He wants to steal your purity. He wants to take your secret acts and secret addictions and secret affections, and he wants to use them for his glory. Just as God desires us to spend time with him in private and to spend time alone in fellowship and in worship him. Hey, listen, the adversary wants to take us, and he wants to take our private life and our secret thoughts and our secret affections, and he wants to use them as well. He came to steal. The devil stole Eve's innocence. He stole Jacob's integrity. He stole Cain's future. He stole Lot's family. He stole Samson's power. He stole King Saul's potential. He stole David's testimony. He stole John the Baptist's trust. He stole Demas's course. He stole Judas's chance. And every one of those, he is out to steal us as well. He's out to steal our innocence and our integrity and our future and our families and our potential and our testimony. You say, well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Well, that's great. And we know that the devil cannot take your soul. If you're saved by the good grace of God, then you are saved for time and eternity. He may not can take your soul, and he can according to the Bible, but he can take your testimony, and he can render you useless in this world. Listen, he wants us to give our mind to him. The devil does. That's his will. I wonder if we'd be ashamed for what we did last night. I wonder if everybody in here knew what everybody else was doing yesterday evening. I wonder if back on the back screen of the building this morning, if we put everybody's thought life, if we put what we looked at last night, the things that we did last week, things that our spouse don't know about, things your children don't know about, things that the pastor don't know about. I wonder if everybody knew what we've been doing, would we be ashamed? I believe this, you ought not do anything in your life that you wouldn't do with the Lord Jesus Christ standing right next to you, because he is standing right next to you. People say, well, I'm glad God didn't see that. I'm glad people didn't. Listen, God saw it, and God knows everybody's intentions. The Bible said in Proverbs 5:21, said, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. Proverbs 15:3 said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Bible said in Luke 12:13, said, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I mean, our secret innermost thoughts that nobody is aware of. There's an all-knowing, all-seeing God that keeps a good record and is recording everything down. Our thought life. The first mention of thoughts in the Bible is Genesis chapter number 6, verse 5. Said, and God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I see, the thoughts of our lives will eventually manifest themselves in our actions. There's not an, I said it a while ago, I guess, just subconsciously not realizing, but I say fallen into sin. Fallen, that they fell into sin. I don't know if they fell into sin or not. I don't know if we fall into sin or not. What we begin to do is we begin to meditate on the things that are contrary to the Word of God. We begin to entertain thoughts. I believe a lot of church problems that we have, and that people I'm preaching to, a lot of times, and Brother Pace preached that message here about that bloody coat. I believe a lot of issues that we have in the church today is just the fact of our thought life, and the devil will put something in our thoughts, and most of the time it's not even as we thought it was. He begins to work in our thought life. But eventually what you meditate on and what you think about and what you have in your innermost thoughts, eventually they will come out and they'll be manifested in things that you do. James 1:13 said, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It begins with a thought. It begins to, what if this? And I wonder if this would happen. And I wonder if this situation would come up. I wonder what would happen. I wonder if anybody would find out. I wonder if mom and dad would find this out. If I just looked at this one time, if I just gazed at this one time, if I just did this one time. Listen to me, young people. There are drunkards that are chained to the liquor bottle this morning because they took one drink. There are people this morning that we would have never thought they're hooked on pornography because they took one look at something that they should not look at. That's why when a thought comes in your mind, I've heard my pastor say it a lot. Listen, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Amen. I mean, listen, when the bad thoughts come in your mind, I tell you what you do. You get you a Bible verse, get the Word of God hid in your heart. And when the adversary comes to you, you can say, God, I know this is not you. You know, a lot of times what I believe we call spiritual discernment is probably nothing more than just being critical of one another. Amen. God told me this, and God said this, and God said this. And a lot of times it's not even as we think it is. The adversary, he wants us to, he wants to steal some things, and he first begins with a mind. He'll secretly steal the seed of the gospel. I've seen him do it before. I remember preaching, I guess a couple of months ago, and I was down in, this was in Georgia, a little bit from the house, and I was preaching a youth meeting there, and they had brought a man in, and listen, you could just tell by looking at him, he was not a church-going man as well. As everybody else was, most everybody in there said they were saved, but they had brought a man, and I thank God for that. Amen. I was glad that they had went out and asked people to come, and there was a man that was there, and you could tell he didn't know the songs. He didn't know a lot about the services going on. And I was like, God, please deal with that man, because it'll take God dealing with an individual like that. It takes God to deal with anybody. I said, Lord, please deal with that man. And I preached, and I remember looking back there, and he was just focused in on what I was saying. I could see his countenance. He was listening, and I believe God was speaking to him, and I began to see the mannerisms, and he began to be uncomfortable. And I said, in my mind, as I'm preaching, Brother Cox, you've been there before. You say, God, deal with that man. Lord, do something in that man's life. He was sitting next to an individual that claimed to be saved. I have no cause to think that they're not. But listen, that individual just reached over and said, I don't know what he did. I don't know what he said. But during that time I was preaching, the young man leaned over to him and said something in his ear. I saw his countenance change. I saw him start smiling. He began to laugh. I don't know what he said. But whatever it was that was said, that man was not the same the rest of the service. He walked out of the service that morning, and as far as I know, the man never did come back. I don't remember seeing him again. You say, what happened? The Bible said in Matthew in chapter number 13 and verse 18, said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That's why when we're in the house of God, and I have a tough time with this, just like I guess everybody else, our mind begins to wonder, and we begin to think, well, I've got to do this tomorrow, and we've got to do this next week, and I've got to have this going on, and we've got to have these things happening in our life. That's why when you come to church, we come to the house of God. That's why we need to gird up the loins of our mind. That's why the Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There is times when you can come in church and you can listen to what the preacher says and never hear what that man says. And because, listen, if you're not saved this morning, I guarantee you the devil's already said, this will be over with before long. He'll be done here before long. You fulfilled your obligation. You've come. You told him you'd come, and you've come, and that's it. And when you get out of here, you don't have to come back. I promise you, sir. I promise you, ma'am, whoever you are and wherever you are, that is not of God telling you that you got plenty of time. That's not God telling you, well, you've come and it'll be over with and you don't have to come back no more. That is the devil. That is the adversary. He's got a will for your life. He wants to steal. Something else he wants to kill. He said he came not but for to steal, and then he said he came to kill. I believe the Romans chapter number 12, verse 1. The word said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. And just as the adversary, just as God wants us to present ourselves a sacrifice, the devil wants you to sacrifice to him as well. He wants you to be a living sacrifice for him. Listen, the devil don't want you to die. Not right now. What he wants you to do, he wants you to ultimately be dead. He wants you to ultimately live in the grave. He does ultimately want you to be cast in the lake of fire. That is his desire for your life. And listen, when God saves an individual, he saves him to live for him. He saves him because he wants to use him. And just as God has a will and he wants to use you, the devil would like to use you as well. You know, a lot of times we say, look at that drunkard out there. Look what the devil's life is. Look at the drunkard. Look at the dope addict. Look at the meth addict. Look at the woman on the street. Look at how they're living. Look at what they're doing. Hey, listen, a drunk in the gutter is ashamed of the devil. A harlot walking the streets with all her teeth knocked out. An individual like that that is chained to gambling and cannot break free and has lost everything they had, that's ashamed of the devil. The devil don't want you to see that. That's just the end results. What the adversary wants you to see, young lady, he wants you to see that boy that's got perfect teeth. He wants you to see that boy that is the best athlete. He wants you to see that boy that seems like he's got everything going on. And I'm not against any of those things, but the devil wants you to see all the quote-unquote good things. That's why the billboards, they show you the advertisements of the liquor and the beer and the living a quote-unquote good life. They don't show everybody in trouble. It shows them all they're smiling. They all have good lives. They all have good things. They all got the fashion. I mean, they've got everything going for them. He does not show you the other side of the billboard with a mom and daddy grieving themselves because their daughter just lost their lives to the hands of a drunk driver. He does not show you the other side of being down in the emergency room when mama's saying, what did I do wrong? And daddy's saying, why did I do this? Why did I let them do that? That's what the devil does in your life. He wants you to live for him, I promise you. He wants you to live for him. Now, he does want you to die in your sins, and he wants you to live with him forever. People say, well, I don't want to go to that place called hell because I don't like those individuals. I don't like these kind of things. Hey, listen, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll go to the same hell that Adolf Hitler's at. You'll go to the same hell that the drunkard and the adulterer and the gambler's going to if they don't get saved. Amen. He wants you to sacrifice yourself on the altar of self-gratification. He wants you to sacrifice yourself to whatever it is that you want to do. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's being a quote-unquote success in society. I tell you what you better do, sir. You better lay up what can never be laid down and lay down what can never be laid up. The Bible said in Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The devil say, well, now you got plenty of time. See, he wants us, the adversary, he wants us to focus on the, you know, well, you got plenty of time tomorrow. See, we say, man, I messed up yesterday. I failed God yesterday. I did not do right yesterday. The adversary says, well, why don't you just wait till tomorrow? Why don't you wait till next service? Why don't you wait till next year? Why don't you wait till the next revival? Why don't you wait till next Sunday? But what God says, come now. And let us reason together. He said, come now. He said, today is the day of salvation. He came to steal. He came to kill. He came to destroy. That's what he's come to do. He wants to devour. He wants to destroy. It's not he wants to scare you a little bit. It's not that he wants to jump out from behind somewhere hidden and go boo, where you'll just run off and get scared in 5 minutes, it's over with. What he wants to do is steal and to kill and destroy every individual in the building this morning. I tell you, we all think, well, we've arrived and we've got here and we, you know, we've been saved a long time and things wouldn't happen to us. Hey, let me say something. I believe that a lot of them are saved people and good people, but what they've done is they've got lax. They've let down their guard. They're not looking around and they're not understanding the adversary, for we are not ignorant of his devices. They're not looking for the adversary. Hey, I'll tell you what you and I better do. Listen, we better be on the lookout because he's on the lookout for us. I believe there's a lot of folks, they just deceived. They're just deceived. You know, I read this morning, I was sitting there reading in the first mention, Genesis, about how the adversary comes, and he came and he was subtle Then I read about Judas Iscariot, about how that by subtlety, see, they wanted to come to Jesus and catch him, and as he was spending time there in the garden, and they came secretly, and they came in subtlety. See, any time that you've got to hide, hey, any time that you've got to say, young man, if you can't say it in front of that girl's mom and daddy, you ain't got no business saying it to her. Young lady, if you couldn't text it to mom and daddy, you shouldn't be able to text it to somebody else. Hey, listen, I've got a cell phone. I understand that. I'm not against everything in this world. I'm telling you that. But I'm saying there's probably not been as much harm done because you can put the phone and you can keep it quiet and you can text. Hey, listen, I wonder, Brother Grubbs, if we just right now, we just got a paper sack and we went all the way around and got every person put their cell phone in there and let's see what you've been texting. Because there's things you'll say in a text that you won't say verbally. There are things that you'll text, and a lot of times what it is just to test the water. It is. I think a lot of people's just deceived. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 11:13, when it talks about people who've been blinded and deceived, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See, there's a lot of people, I've heard them say, well, now I know what it says, and I know what the Bible says, and I know what we've heard. But listen, you just don't understand. I feel good about this. I feel good about this. We say, well, you can't trust your feelings. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your feelings. You're not all time going to feel saved. And then the next breath we'll say, but you know, I feel good about this decision. It does not matter how we feel, because feelings will forsake us. And the devil is not. He doesn't bring himself out as a minister of darkness. He brings himself out as a minister of light. He is transformed. That's where we get the word scheme. See, he's a schemer. He can get you in situations you never thought you'd be in over one thought, one opportunity. Just one opportunity is all it takes. He'll steal, kill, and he'll destroy you. That's how serious it is. There's a lot of people, I believe, they're deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13 said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I thought about this. I've read Matthew in chapter number 7. I don't know how many times I've read and preached from this text. Matthew 7 verse 21. Where it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You say, what's the will of the Father in heaven? The Bible said, who will have all men to be saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will for every individual. He'll save everybody. Anybody that comes unto him, that's God's will for you to be saved. The Bible said in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. When I read that verse many times, I'd read it, And I would think about some of the preachers on television, and I'd think about some of the hirelings and some of the quote-unquote apostles, prophets, everything. You hear everything today on the radio, and you see everything and about how these men are portraying themselves as great men of God or prophets or whatever. And I read this verse, and I read it in the light of the fact, but don't lose this illustration. They're saying, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? That's the way I read the verse. I don't believe that. When I read that verse in the light of this message, you know what I believe they're saying? Did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Do you know what they were? They were deceived. They were deceived in the fact of thinking that the things they were doing were of God. I tell you, if it's contrary to the Bible, and if it's contrary to the, it does not matter how we feel, what we think, we are deceived. You say, well, it can't happen to me. 1 John 4:1 said, beloved, that's not lost people, that's saved people. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. How do we do that? We do that with the Bible. There's a lot of people that are deceived, and there are masters. There are people that are out there. There are ministers that are masters of deception. I tell you, we've got one authority, and that's the Bible. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. Amen. The devil, he wants to do a lot of damage. I believe he uses hypocrites. We heard Brother Jim this morning, Sunday school, in the assembly. He talked about how, you know, he couldn't get past the hypocrites. He couldn't get past the fact, well, here's this guy and he did that. Here's this person, they did that. Here's this person, they're supposed to be right with God, and here they're doing this. I'm just as good as they are. Hey, I wonder how many hypocrites we've got in the house of God. They know what to say, when to say it. They know how to dress, how to act, what to do, when to raise their head. But I wonder, who are you? I mean, listen, when nobody else is around, whatever you do in private, that is who you are. Whatever you do in secret, that's who you are. Whoever you obey in secret, that's who you belong to. I believe that. He uses these things in our life, the stealing, killing, and ultimately wants us destroyed. See, the adversary, he has a strategy. He has a strategy. He has a scheme. He has a plan. He has a will for your life. But the Bible does say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed is the word metamorphosis. It's what happens to a butterfly. See, at one time he was in a cocoon. At one time he was bound. And suddenly he was changed from the inside out. I'm glad in John chapter number 10, it says the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy, but it doesn't stop there. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You say, what can I do to break the bondage of Satan? Well, what can I do in my life? I tell you what you do. You call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you reckon what Jesus has done for you, and you allow him to live in and through you. You allow him to live. Listen, Jesus has already lived the victorious life on this earth, and what he wants you and I to do is to submit ourselves to his will. You know, a lot of people surrender, but I wonder how much submission's gone on. You submit because you want to. You surrender because you have to. But if you'll submit to the will of God, let me say this, you are looking at a satisfied man this morning. Now, I'm not satisfied with me. As a matter of fact, I'm very dissatisfied a lot of times with me and my abilities and the things that I can do. But I can say this, I'm very satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's exceeded my expectations. He's done exceeding abundantly above all that I could even ask or think. Hey, listen, I remember when he gave me life. I'm glad God makes house calls, and he gave me life. On October 20th, 1997, he gave me life, but he just didn't give me life that morning. He's gave me that more abundant life. He's made life worth living. He's gave me peace when there wasn't no peace. He's given me a shout. He's took away the sorrow. He's made life worth living. That's what it's like to be in the will of God. You say, what do we do? We go to Jesus. He can handle it. Amen. Missionary Jim Elliot said this, said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You say, how am I going to beat the adversary? You can't. I can't. Listen, some people crazy. They say, come on, devil, hit me with your best shot. You better be careful because he just might do that. You better not say that. I tell you this, we can go to Jesus. That's why, listen, Jesus came to this earth. Well, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. You say, where did that happen? I believe all, really, it's all combined in Matthew in chapter number 4, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's where our temptations are going to come from. Matthew in chapter number 4. Verse 1 said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. In times of temptations that every one of us will face, I'm glad we've got a sympathizing Savior this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can be touched. He knows what it feels like to be tempted of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, but he passed the test every time. He never one time gave in to the temptation. And the Bible says here that the devil comes, verse 4, and said, man shall not live. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I see the devil comes to him, and he'll come to us in the wilderness. He'll come to us in times of temptation, and he say, I know you're hungry. I know your flesh has desires. Why don't you just give in to the flesh? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, yes, you know, I could turn these stones into bread. I could eat your bread out here, devil, but you can't feed me like my Father can. So no, thank you. I don't want what you've got. And then he said, I'll tell you what I can do. In verse 6, he said, I'll take you high. If you'll just listen to me, I can take you high. Jesus said, you might can take me high, but you can't take me high as my Father can. Then he said in verse number 9, he said, I can give you these things. He said, you might can give me some things, but you can't give me what my Father can. I can say the devil might feed you, but he can't feed you like God can. And he might take you high, but he can't take you high like God can. And he might give you some things, but he can't give you what God can. Thank God. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ, he can take you high. He can feed you good. He can give you the things that money can't buy. Hallelujah. Amen. He can. Listen, there's been people say, well, you can't have no fun being a Christian. Don't you tell nobody that, amen. I mean, I know somebody, listen, you can't have, and I've got joy. I know what everybody's saying. I've got joy. But listen, I have fun. I mean, I do. I have fun being saved. I do. I have joy. I have a good time being saved. This crowd all the time, I mean, don't ever smile. Don't ever laugh. Listen, I know preaching serious. I know living for God serious. But buddy, I'm telling you what, the best time I've ever had in my life is since I've been saved. They say, you're going to miss out on things if you trust God. You're right. You're going to miss out on hell. You're going to miss out on a bunch of heartbreak. You're going to miss out on a bunch of sorrow. And even, listen, we have troubles after you get saved. I know that. But now there's somebody there to help us in every trial, in every trouble, and things that are happening in our life. Jesus is helping us through that. Listen, you say, well, you know, why is it that if everybody's got it so good living for the devil, why are all the Hollywood stars, why does every one of them end up in rehab? Why does every one of them end up in heartbreak? Why does every one of them go through all these things? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to take Sodom's gold instead of heaven's God. And they're trying to satisfy things in their life with worldly things and things that are devilish and things that are sensual, when all they need is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. He makes life worth living.